Radio Prague News. The hero of the Velvet Revolution, former President Václav Havel, is at the center of events commemorating the 20th anniversary of the fall of communism. Czech Prime Minister Jan Fischer paid an official visit to the Vatican on Saturday, where he was received by Pope Benedict XVI and other leading Catholic Church dignitaries. And U.S. Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security Ellen Tauscher is expected in Prague on Monday for talks focusing predominantly on anti-missile defense. The hero of the Velvet Revolution, former President Václav Havel, is at the center of events commemorating the 20th anniversary of the fall of communism. Among the VIP guests attending a panel debate with students at Charles University are former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, French philosopher André Glucksmann, British writer Tom Stoppard, and Polish historian and journalist Adam Michnik. The celebrations will culminate with a concert to which Mr. Havel has invited world artists close to his heart, Lou Reed, Joan Baez, Susan Vega and Renee Fleming. The show is entitled It's Finally Happening, the revolution slogan that tens of thousands of Czechs chanted in the streets during the Velvet Revolution. Czech Prime Minister Jan Fischer paid an official visit to the Vatican on Saturday, where he was received by Pope Benedict XVI and other leading Catholic Church dignitaries. The Czech Prime Minister gave the Pope a commemorative gold medal minted on occasion of the 20th anniversary of the canonization of St. Agnes of Bohemia. Mr. Fischer also laid flowers on the graves of the previous Pope, John Paul II, and Czech Cardinal Josef Beran. Relations between the Czech Republic and the Vatican are still hampered by the fact that the Czech Republic has not yet ratified the Czech-Vatican Treaty on Bilateral Relations. Both countries' representatives agreed on the text of the treaty, which also concerns the position of the Catholic Church in the Czech Republic in the late 90s, but the Chamber of Deputies failed to approve the document in 2003. The Vatican does not intend to change the text of the original treaty and expects the Czech Republic to ratify it as it is. U.S. Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security Ellen Tauscher is expected in Prague on Monday for talks focusing predominantly on anti-missile defense. Ms. Tauscher is scheduled to meet with the Czech Foreign Minister Jan Kohout and leaders of the two strongest parties in the country, the Civic and Social Democrats. After scrapping Bush-era missile defense plans, the Obama administration has expressed interest in building a missile defense system that will be part of NATO defense structures. According to diplomatic sources, Washington has already submitted specific proposals under which the Czech Republic might join the emerging project, but no details have so far been released. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days are expected to be partly cloudy to overcast with some showers in daytime highs reaching 15 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news. You are with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up in today's show, can't remember what it was like to live under communism? Visit a pub in Prague 3. And why don't some Czech children have name days? That and other stories in magazine coming up in just a moment. We'll offer you another Czech lesson with Ruth Frankova, this one about sleeping soundly, and you'll have another chance to hear our in-depth interview of the week with Communist Party Deputy Josef Skála. Did he expect the 89 revolution, and how did it change his life? All that coming your way, and we start off with magazine. A pub in Prague 3 is celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution by giving pubgoers a taste of what life was like under communism. Grubby walls, filthy tablecloths, rude waiters, and food going under the heading UBG, unidentifiable brown gravy, await anyone who dares to remember. The week-long happening is sponsored in part by the City Hall and in part by individuals who like the idea, allowing the pub to go back to communist prices, a pint of beer for 1 crown 70 hellers and a plate of goulash for 6.20. The alternative is salami with chopped onions for the price of just 4 crowns. For a few crowns, you get the whole experience, complete with two officers in communist police uniforms coming into the pub once every 2 hours and being nasty to people while they check their IDs. Pub owner Vladimir Matar says that given how grumpy pubgoers are about life in general, it is good to remind them of what it was like in the past. 20 years is a long time and people forget so quickly, he says. Plenty of people have the same idea, it seems. This week's Mladá fronta dnes supplement for women has a lengthy article on the things we don't miss, a list of the everyday problems that Czech women had to deal with on a daily basis, a desperate search for anything out of the ordinary to wear, running around town for basics such as toilet paper, buying bread early in the morning because you might not get it in the afternoon, and constantly being told by shop assistants, "No, we don't have it, lady. Come down to earth." Some things could be made at home, like curtains or dresses, if one was clever with a needle. But perfume remained a distant dream. There were only one or two kinds on the market, and it was the same with aftershave. Far and Charlie, which appeared in limited numbers in the late 80s, were considered the height of luxury. With shelves now crammed with hair products, it is difficult to remember that not so long ago, women used beer on their hair to create extra volume and vinegar to make it glossy. Taking care of one's family needs and looking good was a daily struggle, but somehow Czech women managed to look good, even if their mascara looked like shoe polish and their lipstick tasted foul. As a fun piece, the supplement features a few of the most popular communist-era dishes, challenging readers to give them another go and improve them with all the ingredients now available on the market. Before the fall of communism, it was unthinkable to give your child a name that was not in the Czech calendar. But since the Velvet Revolution, Czech parents have been able to please themselves, and some have gone wild, giving their children the names of fashion models, soap opera characters, film stars, and even creating their own names such as Midnight Storm, which caused a lot of controversy with the authorities. Traditional Czech names are giving way to Western-style names such as Dennis, Sebastian or Vanessa. Everyone's happy, but there's a slight hitch. Czechs like celebrating name days, and the new names are not in the Czech calendar. The parents of children with fashionable new names, and there are now several thousand of them, have been pushing to get this changed, saying their children deserve a name day as much as anyone else. However, since there are no more vacant days left, this will take some thinking. The Parents' Initiative fighting this battle says it is not asking for the old-fashioned names to be tossed out, since someone else might miss them, but it thinks that people with similar-sounding names could share a name day. In communist days, there was a special commission which decided what names would be in the calendar and on what days. Now the Interior Ministry has said it is entirely up to the firms producing calendars to reach an agreement. This year's Christmas is likely to revert to the spiritual holiday it is supposed to be, according to sociologists and sales experts alike. The reason is, of course, the global economic crisis, which is expected to push out Santa and bring back the little baby Jesus into Czech households. After 20 years of what can only be described as an insatiable shopping frenzy ahead of the Christmas holidays, Czechs are expected to calm down and select smaller, more modest gifts for their loved ones, putting more thought and less money into the celebrations. A good tip for those who want to make their own Christmas decorations is a visit to the Hradec Králové Museum, which is now showing a collection of handmade Christmas decorations that are 150 years old. There are things made of straw, cotton, cloth, cardboard and metal, as well as hand-painted commercial decorations dating back to the first half of the 20th century. So give the museum a visit and have a go at your own Christmas decorations this year. Just don't take things too far. We're told that when the Christmas tree first came to the Bohemian lands, it would be hung upside down over the dinner table. I hope you found something to your liking there, and I'll have more stories for you same time next week. Now it's time to brush up your Czech with Ruth Franková.
Welcome to a fresh edition of Sound Czech Radio Prague's Czech language series, in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's topic is sleep. And the song we are going to listen to is a popular lullaby by Petr Skoumal called Když jde malý bobr spát, When a little beaver goes to bed.
Když jde malý bobr spát, bobr spát, bobr spát, tak si chvilku hraje rád, hraje rád, hraje rád. Postaví se na zadní, na zadní, na zadní. Jenom bobře nespadní.
The song describes how a little beaver gets ready to go to bed. He plays for a while, then he drinks a glass of milk, washes his ears and brushes both his right and left tooth. Soon after, he is fast asleep, or as we say in Czech, spí jako dub, a phrase which literally translates as he is sleeping like an oak. Notice that the phrase uses the verb spinka instead of spí, which is what little children or their mothers would say.
Spinka jako dub, spinka jako dub.
Prosím vás, buďte.
There are many other ways of saying that someone is sound asleep. The closest translation would be tvrdě spí, but we can also say spí jako dřevo, he's sleeping like a log, spí jako by ho do vody hodil, he is sleeping as if thrown into water, or spí jako zabitý, he is sleeping as if he'd been killed.
Dělejte to jak bobří boj, stejně jana jako jan, pochorujte do hajan.
The song ends with an appeal to children. Please do just like the little beaver and march off to bed. Pochodujte do hajan, a phrase that could be translated as hit the sack or hit the hay. The word hajany is derived from the verb hajat, a child's way of saying to sleep. We also commonly use the idiom jít na kutě, though no one really knows what kutě means, and no dictionary seems to offer a clear explanation. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for in this edition of Soundcheck. I hope I haven't put you to sleep. Thanks for listening and nashledanou.
Když jde malý bobr spát, bobr spát, bobr spát, tak si chvilku hraje rád, hraje rád, hraje rád. Postaví se na zadní, na zadní, na zadní. Jenom bobře nespadni, jenom nespadni.
Prosím vás, buďte tak dobře. Dělejte to jako ti pomůže, raději hned po dobrém, následujte za dobrem.
Ruth Franková with that edition of Soundcheck, and you can go over it once again slowly at radio.cz. We will find all our programmes in text and sound. Now, in the last part of today's show, we're inviting you to hear our in-depth interview of the week with Communist Party Deputy Jozef Skála.
Twenty years after the fall of Czechoslovakia's communist regime, the Communist Party of Bohemia and Moravia has retained both its communist label and much of its ideology. Our guest in this edition of One on One, Jozef Skála, recently became one of the party's deputy leaders. In the late 1980s, Mr. Skála was the head of the Prague-based International Union of Students, and on its behalf he decorated the country's last communist leader, Miloš Jakeš, just 2 days before the student demonstration triggered on the 17th of November, the Velvet Revolution.
When Mr. Jakeš came to the headquarters of the IOS the 15th of November, we had two very small lifts there, and that's why we were going up to the last floor, and the only way was to go only two people in the lift, not any bodyguards and so on. And believe me or not, the debate I had with him from the ground floor to the sixth floor was related to one question. Tell me, please, could you guarantee me that there will not be any kind of clashes, any kind of violence, any kind of anything like this? And he was looking at me and saying, what do you think, we are stupid or what? Obviously, we are doing our best not to allow anything similar.
What do you think the communist leadership back then, even in the months preceding the fall of the regime, what do you think they had in mind? Do you think they had in mind the well-being of the people they were governing, or do you think that they care more about their power, really?
Any generalization like this is obviously too much black and white. If there is more time, we should speak about individual people. But there is even many books which somehow depict the conflicts among the top echelons of power, and even the very peculiar scenario of the Narodni Street story when the policeman from the state police was lying down, I mean, and pretending to be dead and so on. So it indicates something. So there were obviously groups which were trying to provoke something and use it for their very particular interests, which was obviously an extremely stupid scenario. Coming back to your initial question, I know a number of people which were very honest and even capable, and they did not get a chance to manifest it in their respective, let's say, level of power in time. That was the tragedy of the 80s.
For example, today, when you're elected in parliament, or maybe even you become a member of government or prime minister, you rely on the vote, on the support you received in free election. What were these people relying on? I mean, do you think they thought about who supports them, where their power is grounded?
This would need a very long reply, because, as you know, politics today in Czech Republic, simply as a matter of comparison, would you say that there is a fair competition among political subjects, or it's a matter of money, who is pumping money where and so on? So in a socialist society, there is not a capital, private capital, which would, let's say, finance campaigns of this or those. Obviously, socialism should have developed to a more and more, let's say, democratic phase, even in terms of the political mechanism, let's call it like this. And this was the ambition of my generation, yes.
It seems that many members of the Communist Party changed their views on all kinds of issues after 1989, including, for example, private enterprise. In the 1970s and 80s, your party condemned the exploitation of men by men, as the phrase ran. But after 1989, you yourself started a business. When did you discover that exploitation can be fun?
No, there is no contradiction in this, because we still think that people should not be exploited. This is a program for our party up to now, and it will be forever. Well, forever is maybe a too strong formulation. But if you are obliged in a new situation somehow to feed your family, and there is this lustration, or how we say it in English, law, which, and other, let's say, measures which are somehow ousting people of that kind like myself, then you are obliged to find some, let's say, space, some niche in this new society. So you are forced to do it. It's not a free decision. It's a quasi-free decision.
Your party has apologized several times for the wrongs committed during the four decades of communist rule. But the Communist Party today seems to still rely on very much on what analysts would call the protest vote. That is, on people who are against the regime and have severe reservations and perhaps would prefer to live in the regime that ended in 1989. Do you think that the Communist Party in this particular respect perhaps missed an opportunity to reform itself and become a Western European-style left-wing party?
Again, it's a matter of criteria. I would formulate it in a different way. The Communist Party is a systemic opposition, yes. Why to, let's say, hide it? We believe that the rights and interests of the people could be sufficiently materialized only beyond the horizon of capitalism. That's our, let's say, deep conviction. And I think the present financial and economic crisis is bringing quite interesting evidences of that. The happy end of history, as it was called by certain Western, let's say, theoreticians and so on, was rather a mystery than, let's say, a realistic forecast. In terms of reforms, I can second what you said in a little bit different way, yeah. But there's a number of reasons which should be more deeply understood. Is it easy to be a communist today, let's say in my age or for younger people? It's not easy to be, let's say, openly a communist, not to go to some meetings and so on, because you are risking, let's say, existential troubles, which are not small. And that is why there is hundreds of thousands of people which are voting us, let's say, which are in the elections with us, but they have a problem, I mean, to manifest their beliefs, I mean, more openly in a day-by-day life. It's clear. This is multiplying some sort of a ghetto effect. Those who are inside that party are pressurized by various, let's say, factors around themselves, and it's multiplying in them some sort of a, I would not call it a sectarianism, but some sort of a lack of capability to go beyond that border and speak with the people in a way which would be understandable to them and which would really attract them. This is a disease which is also, let's say, very, let's say, which also I feel as a big problem, and people like myself are doing our best to somehow overcome it.
In the central Bohemian region, the Communist Party supports the Social Democrat government, and the governor, Social Democrat David Rath, said that such cooperation could work well on the national level as well. So do you see Social Democrats and Communists in a coalition government after the next general elections in May 2010?
I cannot, give you any exact forecast, but let's follow rather an objective logic of the Czech politics. The pendulum is somehow moving back to the left, and it's a matter of social situation of most of the people, which would worsen still more and more, and all the optimistic forecasts which are channeled through certain media are, to my opinion, a soap opera, because the genuine, let's say, repercussions of the crisis are still coming. And social democrats, if they wish, let's take it from their point of view, if they really wish to make an alternative government and not any hybrid, let's say, with Civic Democratic Party and the other right-wing forces, then there is no other way than to find a certain modus vivendi with ourselves. And nobody's insisting on that we should be, I don't know how many ministers. We are not seeking for posts and something like this. The model which is applied in central Bohemia is one of the options which, to my opinion, can be applied in the whole of the country. Nobody's claiming that we should be, let's say, inside the government, provided there is some sort of a deal, not in any commercial and, let's say, other, let's say, respects, but a genuine political agreement among two left-wing parties, which would guarantee to the people of this country much more, let's say, viable, suitable, and social-oriented, social-friendly policies. I mean, that's perhaps the key goal.
A
Mr. Josef Skála, our guest of the week, and I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. But do join us again tomorrow for a Sunday show in which you can hear a fresh edition of Mailbox, Letter from Prague, and Magic Carpet with Petr Doruška, featuring a new jazz band on the Czech music scene. That's tomorrow on Radio Prague. In the meantime, this is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.